Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, May 14th. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. Let's call this Open Mic Morning. Open Mic Morning, O-M-M. It's 646-652-4620. Whatever you want to get off your mind, please lay it on this station. We'll be glad to hear from you. You can email us anytime. Comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. And that mytwocentsonline.com is that two is a numeric two. It's mytwocentsonline.com. Folks, he's really he's an economist. And he's a financial planner. He's very, very, very good, very honest, very open. And he gives you a good idea of what's going on a macroeconomic point of view. I really highly recommend that you subscribe to his newsletter. One is free and then one is very inexpensive. And I recommend that you do both. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. After enough false starts this morning, allow me to tell you why I probably sound a little differently this morning than I normally do. After our broadcast last Thursday, I went biking with a friend of mine, and we went from this town to another town, Tulsa to Sand Springs, and while on the Katy Trail, which used to be the old Katy Railroad, which they blacktopped over and they made a jogging bike trail, the front forks on my bike gave out. Didn't know that they had a stress fracture in it, had been there for a long time, and worked itself to a point where it just gave way. I was really riding for a long time on one fork, didn't realize that. It gave way, flung me off the bike. I had thought I had broken several bones in my body. I did not. I broke no bones, but I got, you know, several good contusions, and that is exactly about 1 week ago, give or take 3 hours. I guess it was 10 o'clock about of last Thursday, and I have been on medication, which I'm out of it now, but I hurt like heck. Even with the medication, by the way, I hurt like heck. The bruises went very deep, but I didn't break anything, but I'm in here broadcasting in absolute pain. But I'm here, you know, and I'll try to do the best that I can and try not to think that I'm in pain. I stop talking about it because when I talk about it, I get in pain. But here we are. We received only one email last week, and that email was from Ray, who had called in when DV was on the air. I think DV did a fabulous job. She deserves a tremendous amount of credit for all that she's done. I mean, she is an incredibly brave woman. Here's a woman who was a whistleblower of her own department and then, of course, suffered the consequences of that. I don't think there's one person in 10,000, maybe in 100,000, that would have done that. She sacrificed herself for the good. And everything she said, I agreed with. But Ray brought up a point, and he said that although DV is, he just wanted to say he enjoyed her in the whole bit, but he said he didn't like her generalization of all Muslims, and I have to agree with that. And again, I don't want to be contentious, but I think we all have to be careful. Now, She is. I have never read the Quran, but I've heard several people say in the Quran it says that, you know, the infidels, etc. If you don't believe in Allah, you're infidel, and it's the job of the Muslims to whatever to do away with them somehow. And the problem that I have is I have twofold. First of all, once you read the any scriptures, it becomes a matter of interpretation. It was written at a certain time by a certain person for a certain reason. Or I say persons, I really don't know. And as a result, you know, we take those and we interpret them. Now, it very well may be that in the Quran, it does say something along those lines. But on the same breath, you can take any religious dogma, any religion, and I don't like to say Muslim versus Christian, I mean any of them. And if you took their preachings and their teachings and their dogma that typically was written thousands of years ago, and you took it word for word, I mean literally, we would be able to kill for the most inane reasons. In the Bible, I think it says somewhere that if a woman is found looking at another man or something like that, or you know, stone her to death. I mean, I'm not quoting, and I'm going to get all sorts of email on that. But you know, but there are things like that. You know, comments that would seem to be incredibly harsh. You know, and I think one religion breeds on the other. I mean, they all have something like that in there. So you can take any religion and say, well, I wouldn't belong to that religion because, you know, if my wife did this, this, and that, I would have to stone her to death. And I particularly would not want to stone her to death. I may divorce her, but I'm not going to stone her to death, you know. I don't think that's right. And many teachings, when interpreted in certain ways, become contradictory. You know, stone the person to death, and then we say, thou shalt not kill. You know, you get into all of this. But my point being is that I think we should leave religious dogma to those people who like to study religious dogma. And that's it. I mean, when it comes to living on a day-to-day basis, I'll be very honest with you folks, I am of no religious persuasion whatsoever. At the same time, I deny no one their religion. I don't care what you are, and I like you just as much as if you were something else. It makes absolutely no difference to me whatsoever. Provided that if I decided to have a cigarette, you don't stone me or something like that. I don't smoke, but I'm just saying that you don't follow through on the teaching. I would appreciate it. But we have to realize that not all people act in the manner in which the dogma of their religion dictates. I know of Muslims that live in my subdivision, a nice housing subdivision, you know, middle class or whatever it is, you know, and not fancy or anything like that, and they're Muslim. And I tell you, they are just the neatest people in the world. I cannot imagine them in a million years, you know, trying to force people to this subdivision to become Muslims, or they're going to burn every house down. But yet, if you speak to some people who read certain religious books literally, you know, it would be their responsibility to, you know, to destroy, you know, the entire neighborhood in the name of whomever, you know, whatever religion you are. And I'm not picking on Muslims, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about any religion. So we have to be so careful. And I have so many friends. When I ran for office back in the in 2000, that tells you how old I am, and I ran the general election for U.S. Congress, I was called by a Lebanese gentleman who owned a restaurant. And he says, I want you to know that you have the vote of the Lebanese community, you know. And because what we did was talk, you know, in the restaurant. He knew I was running for office, and he asked me a bunch of some questions, and I was very frank with him, you know. And he just didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. He took my card. He didn't say a word, and, you know, enjoyed the meal and left. And then the next day, or a couple of days later, he called me, and he told me who he was, and he said, I want you to know that I spoke to the, you know, to my group, and we are going to support you. And I got a good portion of the of the Muslim community voting for me. Now, I did not say that, you know, Allah be great, you know, we should burn the houses down, you know, kill the... I didn't say anything like that. And all I was doing, all I said to him is that we have to be fair. You know, we cannot prejudice one group against the other. We cannot give $3 billion a year to Israel and at the same time try to find a solution to the Israeli Palestinian problem while the Palestinians are starving to death and being suppressed. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, you can't distort a situation then come in and say, well, we're going to fix it while we continue to distort it. And I think he understood that. And I said, I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying that we should leave everyone alone. You know, everything should have been left the way it is. And the Western countries that are the power bases at the time should not be the ones to impose their will. And it's not even their will, but their agenda based on the pressures that they receive from certain other sects, you know, whomever they may be, to impose, you know, because they're the military power, to impose that on other people. I said it's all very, very unfair. And he bought into that. He said, I agree. I didn't think there was anything big or, you know. But when he called that, I thought it was very gratifying. Now, I did not win the election by a long shot. But it was nice to understand, to know that at least he understood. And yet, he knew I was not Muslim. I did not believe in the Muslim religion. And, you know, I didn't believe in Islam. As a belief system, I didn't belong to their, you know. And yet, he was calling me as an agnostic or an atheist or a pagan, whatever you want to call me. He was calling me to tell me that the Muslim community was going to support me. That's kind of interesting. Now, when you think about that for a second, here is a guy who's, you know, very much, you know, in the Islamic community, you know, telling an agnostic, if you will, or a non-believer, let me put it, I guess I'm a non-believer, you know, in his religion, you know, saying, we're going to support you. Now, how does that bode with the Quran? Probably not very well. So my point being is that we do have these interpretations are so incredibly, incredibly dangerous. I just try to get from point A to point B and dispense with all of the stuff, and because it's the right thing to do. I once asked a group of business people, and I asked them, you know, why are you nice to customers? You know, why do you provide customer service? And they all said the same thing. They said, because that's the way you retain customers, that's the way you grow your business. I ran around the table and asked each guy. And women, they say, yes, you know, we do this, this, and that, and that's good for customer retention. And they went around the place, and I said, that's wonderful. I said, you know, you all basically said the same thing, and you're all wrong. And they looked at me like I just was a nutcake. They said, wrong? And they wanted to throw me out. I said, no, the reason why you provide good customer service, and you're good to your customers, and you're empathetic to your customers, and you provide your customers with the best quality products and service because it's the right thing to do. And they agreed. And they all missed the point. And I think here with Devi, she's missing the point. You know, without criticizing her, believe me, I mean, I have the utmost respect for her. And neither during my broadcast do I want to impose or get in a conflict or whatever or contentious situation with my guests. Now, I would have, had she brought that up in the very beginning of the broadcast, she brought it up at the very end. We have 4 minutes to go. There was no way we were going to get through that, and I was afraid we were going to leave on bad terms, and I didn't want to do that. It wasn't worth it. But I did want clarification. And she's listened to this, please. I mean, do not take offense to what I am saying whatsoever. I mean, what she has accomplished and what she has done is much more than I have done and will ever do in my lifetime, even if I work 24 hours a day at it. And I have the utmost respect for her. But I really believe that we should rethink. And I don't want my listeners to think that I'm in agreement with that, because I'm not. But I understand where she's coming from. I understand how she drew that conclusion, but it is a very dangerous conclusion. All right, I spent 15 minutes saying that. I probably should have. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. 4620. Our email is comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'd love to hear from you on that subject or any subject. In fact, you can help this broadcast if you did send me an email on any subject that you would like for me to talk about. If you have a subject that or question, say, I don't understand this, and make it a tough one. I mean, they'll say, like, you know, should our government, bomb Poland? You know, I don't know, you know. But, you know, I mean, make it specific and give me a – because what I will do is I'll be honest with you. 90% of the times when someone asks me a question, I have to research it. And I have to really understand the root of the problem or else I won't do it. Okay? I had a religious conversation with a gal, a group that we just have coffee, and she's new to the group. And we were talking about – you know, critical thinking, and I brought up the fact that it's awfully tough to be, and she's very religious. I said, I find it very difficult for someone to think critically and be religious. I said, you know, and she said, why? I said, well, because belief things that, you know, if someone contested that, you know, could not be answered, you know, and if they were researched, they found that they couldn't find basis for it, and then they have problems with that. And we went round and round on that. It was a fun conversation. She wasn't angry, but she just didn't understand what I was trying to say. I said, well, if you know, you would believe, you don't know. If you know, you cannot believe, and she never understood that concept. Anyway, we will continue that another broadcast. I want to talk a little bit about the Constitution. Yeah, it's amazing. Our Constitution is such a wonderful, wonderful document. I mean, I want to just read the opening paragraph. I mean, it makes me want to cry, and I get so angry when I read it, because when you look at our government today, we the people, in bold letters, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. What, you know, and then it goes on, Tom Clancy said, you know, what the government is good at is collecting taxes, taking away your freedoms, and killing people. It's not good as much anything else. And he said, you know, Edmund Oppitz said that no one can read our Constitution without concluding that the people who wrote it wanted their government severely limited, their words no and not employed in restraint of government power occur 24 times in the first 7 articles of the Constitution and 22 more times in the Bill of Rights. Now, you just go nuts. You know, you read that. What bothers me is that in an inauguration, which I don't even watch anymore, but the president, who's just been duly elected, stands up in front of everybody and God in creation and says, you know, I will support, you know, the Constitution of the United States of America. And when he says that, that's his first official lie. He lies when he, at the very first sentence, when he gives that oath. When he gives the oath, he lies. Just think of that. He doesn't have to wait. He doesn't wait to get into office. They have to wait till the parties or anything. He lies in the very first sentence. Look what this guy has done. The Constitution permits the government to coin money, gold or silver. That's it. He supports a private organization that prints our money that we buy it from, which means that he is owned by the money makers. And it's very simple, folks. You don't have to go through the Illuminati and the conspiracy things. No, it's very simple. The Federal Reserve is owned by the money changes of the world, the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, etc., all the families, the Morgans, they own the Federal Reserve. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine they own the Federal Reserve and no one can buy a stock? I cannot buy a share of stock of the Federal Reserve. And we must, because Congress enacted it illegally, for us to buy our currency, except for the coin money, buy our currency from the Federal Reserve at an interest rate. Now, and then every time we have to borrow money, we have to create debt. And our money is created out of debt. Just think of the insane situation that we're in. Just think that every time you accept a dollar, you are enslaving yourself. And what happens? The Constitution decimates it. They were talking the other day about who Obama was going to select for the Supreme Court. And he talked about, well, someone was speaking for him, and they said, well, he's looking for someone who's, relatively young, not someone who's very, very old for some reason, someone who is moderate or something like that, someone who, is passionate. You know, passionate. What is that passionate supposed to mean, you know? And all these nicey, goody-goody, warm and fuzzy words. And they talked about all the attributes that he was looking for in this person of Supreme Court. One was missing, and that's a clear understanding of our Constitution. You see, the Constitution is being eradicated from our school books, from all the political dialogue, and from television. Everywhere, the only time you'll read about the Constitution are in books. And I can say, I saw a movie many, many years ago where books were banned and they burned all the books. And, it was a real wild movie. It was scary as all heck. I remember it was just scary. I mean, no one could read anything. And the reason for that is that the books were really the only thing left. It was the underground. And the books talked about things like the Constitution, the right of the people, etc. And the government wouldn't permit that because it was polluting the minds of the people. And so people could only hear and see that which the government approved. Now, that sounds so wild, but think about it for a second. Isn't that exactly what's happening today? I mean, precisely what's happening today. The government now wants some control over the internet, you know, of course, because of the children. It's always because of the children, you know. They want to make certain that what we do in school is that we revise history. What I'm going to try to do, folks, and this is going to be so, so neat, is I'm going to attempt to get a history book from a elementary school, government-run elementary school, and I am going to start reading it on the air. Wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, probably what is being taught, so we will know what's taught to our children. And probably what is said there is revisionist history. History that never existed, but they want the children to understand. And we're not far from that stage where the Constitution will mean nothing. Because you never hear the Constitution in the radio talk shows. How often do people say, well, that's unconstitutional? They'll say, well, you know, it seems that this person's not as compassionate as that person, and blah, blah, blah. You know, garbage, garbage, garbage. And people's minds, when you hear them speak, they speak garbage. They don't talk logic anymore. They don't talk rationally. You know, they say, well, I guess that'd be a good thing. At least the government's doing something. They say, is that constitutional? Well, what the hell does that mean? What does that have to do with it? You know, and they get angry because they don't know. People recognize their own ignorance, and it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work and effort to become educated. And the worst people in the world, the most dangerous people we have in the United States today are the progressives. Because the progressive movement, or the Democratic progressive movement, I should say, from the Democratic Party, is that first stage where we first become reliant on the government. We go from being the risk taker, from being risk averters, from accepting government security for risk. And any time you have that, you know, do you want to take the risk or you want the government to guarantee it? We will always give up our freedom for that security. It always works that way, with rare exception. And so that's the stage. There is a fabulous article, a speech given by Mark Stein. His name is spelled Steyn. In case he's online, it says Live or Die. He's the Eugene C. Pulliam Visiting Fellow in Journalism at Hillsdale College. Now, I get their Imprimis news publication every month, and I read his speech. It is frightening, if fabulously done. The guy is brilliant. And he talks about the different stages. And the stage that we are in is we're at the stage where we are giving up our freedom for security. And then we give up a little bit more. The next stage is that, you know, we are told what to do with that limited freedom that we have. And then the next stage is that then they restrict what things that we can do. And he gives an example in England, for example, where, you know, they have no constitution. They have nothing anymore. They're totally shot as a country. In their universal health care, if you are overweight and have a hip fracture, they're not going to pay for it because you contributed to that condition. So what they're doing now, because they're totally broke, they're totally in bankrupt, their whole welfare system, healthcare system is in bankruptcy, is if you contributed to the injury or illness, they don't pay for it. If you have a lung disease and you smoke, you're out. Goodbye. You know, just think of that. You can make an excuse for anything. And that's because they're taking money over the individual. And that also shows why the government shouldn't be involved in that situation at all. But all that, and now that we're moving to universal health care, that again is unconstitutional. You know, the title of this program was, What Constitution? And you're right, there is no constitution anymore. And we're looking at Obama as the savior, as our leader. No, you and I are the leaders. You and I, not the president. The president is just there to ensure that we stay as the leaders, that our leadership roles are not infringed upon, that our rights are not infringed upon. If our rights are not infringed upon, we are the leaders. No one understands that. And we're all looking for this demagogue, you know, to make things well. And that's why it's so important for us to support people like Ron Paul, this Campaign for Liberty. Folks, I'm not really too optimistic anymore. And I'm very, very frightened. And I really hope you are too. Because if you're not frightened, really frightened, you probably will not be initiated into action. And we really need to act. I want to remind you one more time. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. We're going to go off the air very soon. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620, but we probably have no time. But please, send me your email. Send email regarding this commentary to comments@libertytalkradio.com, comments@libertytalkradio.com. Our next broadcast will be Sunday evening, and we have a guest Sunday evening, and I don't even know who it is. We have so many people lined up, but check our blog, and we will you'll see who we'll have. I think we're going to have a guest next Sunday evening. Again, it's always a good guest. We always have someone who is very active in the freedom movement. I think you'll really enjoy it. So please join us Sunday evening at 8 o'clock Central Daylight Time. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, Don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.